Hello. So just a heads up, this is me talking about my top favorite movies, at least for the moment. And that means that there will be spoilers if you haven't seen these movies. So, I guess I should just list them now. In no particular order, Fantastic Mr. Fox, The Labyrinth, Reservoir Dogs, There Will Be Blood, and Stoker. So if you haven't seen any of those and you really want to and you don't want me to give things away, don't listen to this until afterwards because I'm going to talk about stuff in the movie. So I guess let's start with Fantastic Mr. Fox. I don't remember when I found this movie. I think it was when they were promoting it, which honestly it didn't get that much promotion in the first place. Even though it has a crazy awesome cast, because it has George Clooney, Meryl Streep, Owen Wilson, Bill Murray, and some other people that I don't know the names of, but it's just, I don't know, it's well-rounded, excuse me, it has a lot of elements to it that appeal to my adult side. They tackle very adult themes, in a very easy to understand manner. Like the relationship between Mr. Fox and Mrs. Fox, and her issues with his behavior. And there's one specific part where he pissed her off. I can't remember. I think it's because he was stealing stuff and she found out about it. And she said that, whatever. Anyways, but she looks at him and she's just like, I'm gonna lose my temper. I'm gonna lose my temper right now. And he says, what? And, like, she scratches him on the face and snarls. And just the bluntness is, it's just an art. Because you can be blunt in movies and come out as a dick. And then other movies, it's too subtle and it's not blunt enough because you, like, tiptoe around the subject. But anyways. There's actually a specific scene that I want to turn into a tattoo. Towards the end of the movie, there is a part where, Mr. Fox, his son, his nephew, and Kylie, are fleeing the scene of, like, the big dramatic event at the end of the movie. And through the entire movie, Mr. Fox has talked about, how he is, quote-unquote, not scared of wolves. But he obviously is, and someone says, well, don't look now. And they stop the car thing that they're in. And these are actual animals, by the way. It's a stop-motion claymation thing. And it's done by a side view, so it looks like you're looking at, it's all from, like, one direction. Anyways, but they're fleeing, and someone says, don't look now, and they stop the car, and they look, or motorcycle, and they look over, and there's a wolf, and he admits that he has a phobia of wolves, and he tries to speak to it, in English, and then I think in French, and one more language I can't remember, and it doesn't respond at all. And then he just raises his fist up, to the side, like, kind of like the Black Power thing, and the wolf, like, waits, and then he does the same thing. And that specific part with the wolf holding his fist up, I want that as a tattoo. And a lot of people, there's been some debate on what that means and how the movie is racist and all this stuff. And it's not, the sign that is given is not a sign of racism, or specifically having to do with African Americans or whatever race. It's about solidarity. It's about being an individual and being proud of being an individual. And that is something that really speaks to me because I've always been that weird person. I was raised by a weird guy, my dad, so that just kind of worked out, because I always said that I was a wolf in a sheep's clothing. Sheep's clothing. So yeah. So that's going to be a tattoo eventually. And if you haven't seen it, you shouldn't be listening to this, but you should see it anyways if you don't give a fuck. Next movie is The Labyrinth by Jim Henson with David Bowie and Jennifer Connelly. This is one of the movies, actually out of the five of these, this movie I have probably seen the most times when I was a kid. I'm an only child, and my dad would be gone, my mother had left us, and I would just kind of have a lot of free time. So I would work on projects like drawing and stuff, and I would watch this over and over and over and over again, and the play Cats. There was a VHS version that was recorded, and this is all on VHS, and I would watch it and rewind it and watch it and rewind it, and I would just do that all day. So out of the five that I listed, The Labyrinth is probably the one that I've seen the most. And most of the reason why I love it, aside from the fact that Jim Henson plus David Bowie is just fucking amazing, Jennifer Connelly is okay, but as an actress, she just doesn't do a lot for me. Like, she's super beautiful and gorgeous and stuff, but everything that I've seen her in has been just not my type of movie, I guess. She's a wonderful actress. But David Bowie is just fucking amazing. And the pants, and the spandex, and the hair, and the singing, and everything, and I love it. And Ludo, love Ludo. So yeah, if you haven't seen The Labyrinth, that's really sad. And you should change that. I think out of the five movies on this list, The Labyrinth, you should probably see the most because it's a classic. Not as in, like, the classic, like Gone with the Wind or those types of movies, which all valid movies and all pretty awesome. See The Labyrinth. The next movie is Reservoir Dogs. So, Reservoir Dogs is directed, by Quentin Tarantino. I love Quentin Tarantino as a director, as an actor. I think that he's definitely gotten better with age. His part in Django Unchained was actually really well done. I approved of his accent and his death. But anyways, in Reservoir Dogs, it just has, I guess all the Quentin Tarantino films, that's not true. Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, the Dust Before Dawn movies don't really hit it as much. There's a couple more, but those two are the specific type of storytelling that come to mind that are very unique to Quentin Tarantino, where you're with the characters, you're in the car with them, you're right next to the guy that gets his head blown off, and in Reservoir Dogs, you're right next to them when all the shit goes down. Sure, you're not in the bank with them when they, or not the bank, jewelry store? I don't even remember what the fuck they were robbing. Anyways, you see the development of the characters and their relationships. It is a story. It's a wonderful told story. And Reservoir Dogs, the relationship between, Mr. Orange and I think it's Mr. White, who played, the wolf or whatever his name is in Pulp Fiction that saved their asses. Their relationship specifically, I really, really enjoy. And then, honestly, the torture scene, you just can't get much better than that. Like, I don't support torture, I don't like torture, I'm not a mean person. Well, sometimes I'm a bitch, but that's not the point. Anyways, it's just so well done with the music and how cruel and how horrible this man is and what he's doing, cutting off a fucking ear and then pouring gasoline. Jesus Christ, man, that's horrible. And he was gonna fucking light him on fire, and that's just, that is a fate worse than death. Luckily, he gets put out of his misery before that happens. Anyways, but that specific song, in the movie, that scene is probably one of my favorite scenes of all time. So the next movie, There Will Be Blood. I love, well, actually, if you haven't noticed, I like dark movies. Actually, you haven't, Reservoir Dogs is the only really dark one. There Will Be Blood is a very dark movie. It is a very long movie. The storytelling specifically at the beginning is very, I don't want to say beautiful, but it's strategic and simple and not common to a lot of movies. Because there's no question, it just is. And I really like that. And the relationship that, I don't even remember the character's name, the main guy that he develops with his son that's not his son, but how that doesn't develop as much as he develops his company, and how, I don't believe he's self-centered, and I don't think that he's selfish. Maybe towards the end of the movie and towards his old age, he's very selfish, he's very greedy. But in the beginning, I honestly think that he's an innovator. He wants to produce, he wants to be, not be the best, but he wants to be efficient. He's striving for something above himself, and then that morphs into whatever psychotic breakdown bullshit that he gets into, and then he kills that one guy, the brother, which that scene is, okay, that actor who plays the two brothers, the nice one and then the fucking crazy disgusting religious one, I have nothing against religious people, but how he approached religion, I just don't agree with, in the movie, and I think there was a point to that. Anyways, he needed to die, and I'm glad that he died, and I kind of like how he died. That last scene was just really well done. It showed a very round about way to the character, the main character, and how his allegiances from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie, and just how degraded his mind and his personality was. It was just awesome. And then the butler comes in and he's like, "Are you done?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm done. We're good." As he's sitting next to the dead guy that he just killed with a ball pin. And there's, like, blood everywhere. It's just awesome. So the last movie on my list, I think is the most recent. It's called Stoker. And I think this is probably the weirdest one out of the five. Or I guess the creepiest. Creepy would be a better word. It has Mia, I can't even say her last name, Mia Will, the chick that was in, Jane Eyre and did the rebuff for, not the ship. What movie is it? Alice in Wonderland. She's beautiful in a very non-traditional way, and I don't like blondes. I'm not a fan of blondes, and I think I've mentioned this before, and I'll probably mention it again, but I would totally fuck her in a second. Seriously. Amazing. Anyways, so Stoker is about a really dysfunctional, fucked up family. There's mom and a dad. At this, I think in the beginning of the movie, I can't remember if it starts out with the death of her father.
I think it does. But it's Nicole Kidman and a really famous actor that was in My Best Friend's Wedding, I think, with Julia Roberts. I can't remember his name, but I know his face. Anyways, he dies on her birthday, and you find out later why. And at the funeral, you meet her father's brother. And she's never met this guy. The wife, her mom, barely knows this person. She's never met him at all. But she's heard a lot about him. And he has this intensity and this darkness and just this delicious creepiness that I can't get over. And I just, it's just awesome. Anyways, he's obsessed with the daughter. And you find out that he killed the father because the father wanted to send him away and didn't want him going near his daughter. And so he killed him and then showed up and said, oh, I had been away in Italy when he had actually been in a mental institution. So he helps her. Before you find that out, there's just moments that are extremely sexual, and it's an incesty movie. Nothing actually happens, though, which is good. It's like, forgive me, but this is what it's like to me. It's like edging incest, like, oh, they're gonna get really close and they're gonna do something and then never mind. It's like, oh, they're gonna get really close and do something and then never mind. And that, it's like, it's a tease. And they kill a person together and he helps bury this guy. And she gets off in the shower thinking about them killing this guy, which is a fucking bizarre scene. And props for her for getting off by herself with just her fingers. I can't do that. Anyways, and I just like it a lot, basically. Specifically the scene with the piano where she's playing the piano and then he comes and helps her out and then he, like, puts his arm around her. The sense in the air, the vibe of that entire scene is just fucking amazing for me, and I get all tingly inside because it's exciting. But in the end, she kills him because he's gonna kill her mom, and then she leaves and she kills a cop because she has her mom's skirt and shoes, her dad's belt and gun, because she had been raised to be a hunter by her dad, because she's fucking weird and awesome and has these crazy senses that are kind of like Spider-Man, but not really. Maybe not Spider-Man. Just superheroes and stuff. But the beginning of the movie starts with the end of the movie, and you don't know that that's what it is, or you don't know exactly what's happening, and it's just awesome. So, I've rambled on for, like, 18 minutes now about these movies. And I love these movies, and you should see these movies, and I own them, which means a lot. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed my ramble.